better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Nick Starkle's been named the starter. And I think that that's where a few of you fans, and a few of the fans at least from our social media and everything have been discussing, is why they feel like this turnaround can happen. Now, a turnaround to me this season, it's different from a season turnaround to a program turnaround. A program turnaround with the Razorback program was not ever going to happen this year. I don't think any of us expected that this year was going to be the year when it all comes together and it all gets going and Arkansas really starts competing for something. I don't think anybody felt that way. But now you're at a point to where, through two games, you have not looked good. You're 1-1, but you have not looked good doing it. And now you have two non-conference games, back-to-back weekends in Fayetteville. Very winnable non-conference games. So the question becomes, for all of you out there who have not jumped ship, who still feel like, hey, this can get turned around this season, what is your timetable? What are you waiting on? What are you looking for? And how do you think this is going to happen? Because there's still people that have hope. But where's your hope lying in? Is it just Nick Starkle being the starter? I mean, is that enough to get you hopeful? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be these next two games? And if they win these, then you'll still feel better about it? You'll feel confident about it? I mean, where's the timetable? What is the timetable? And why do you feel that way?
So are you saying in the beauty contest, Arkansas is 0-2, actually?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree.
That Portland State game, I know you won
last year. Clay brought up last year's Alabama game. You won the beauty contest that day because your offense looked
good. Yeah, you got the offense good. Going.
You gave up 65 on defense, but yay, who's counting? You know,
I mean, you still only got 390
Portland State,
yards.
You won the game, but boy, you didn't look good doing it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even against Alabama last year, I mean, you only got 390 yards. I mean, it was something.
Thinking a lot of people's mind, they are 0-2.
Yeah, I mean, that's how a lot of people feel right now. So it's about Colorado State this weekend on this Saturday. And you know, can you get it turned around? Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Danny's in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. I'm optimistically frustrated.
There that's you go. A good way to put it.
There you go.
I mean, I saw some things that I liked. It's going to be good going forward, but I see some things that... just the same old stuff, you know. That's the stuff that just drives me nuts. These missed tackles. You know, we didn't look like an SEC defense. I know, you know, everybody got tired and all that, but you're going to get tired. You got to tackle. You know, you're not going to win any games when you let guys just run free like that. And but
you mean that's bad, Danny? That's bad when the opponent gets open and field running just.
That's bad.
Like on a range?
I really look forward, though, because we got the quarterback now that can get the ball out. Boom, it's out. That's the best we could hope for. Now, our receivers, they're going to have to get open, and they're going to have to make plays after it's over with. But the question I have is, what are we going to do if the running game gets stuffed like it has been? Are we going to have to pass to open up the running game? We're going to have to take some deep shots. Mm-hmm. What's going to have to happen? You know, I'm excited about the recruiting of this team, but I want to see some player development. I want to see improvement. I want to see these guys getting better every game. And thanks for taking my call. Have a good day.
Yeah. Yeah, what you need to see, Danny, is better pad level from the offensive line. I mean, that's one thing I think. You just go back and watch some of the plays again from last week. The line's got to play at a lower pad level and open up some creases for Boyd and Whaley when they're running the football straightforward. That's just not happening. Maybe they can't do it. That's where the next big step is for this team. With throwing the ball downfield help, only if you're completing those plays and getting first downs and touchdowns. That's the only way. If you're not productive in the passing game, we'll just keep putting Nate in the box. Eventually, you're either going to punt or you have to do something eventually. If you're not moving the football, passing it, then you'll have to go back to the run, and it just becomes a vicious cycle.
And this isn't a new, you know, groundbreaking comment, but
if you're going to be successful in the SEC, you have to run the ball effectively. And against even against Colorado State, if you can't establish the run, if you can't get Boyd and Whaley going, if you can't open up holes and open up lanes for them to run through, Starkles is, and listen, I know Starkles are the better option at quarterback, and I think that he has the ability to make some plays, but Starkles not the type of quarterback that's going to go out there and have to need to throw 50 passes and 500 yards and five touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think that that's the type of offense you want to find yourself in. You have to establish the run at, in some fashion at some point. And if you don't do it against Colorado State, or anybody, who are you going to do it against?
Do they have to throw it a little bit to get the run established? I think that's what Danny's really asking.
I guess. But,
because what's every team defensively doing a lot of the time?
Loading up eight.
Not a lot of nickel out there.
No. No. But
or if they are, they're bringing walking someone down.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I know that we've talked all about Arkansas, but you had to get Ole Miss credit on the defensive side and their staff because they obviously did their scouting, and I think that they knew that Ben Hicks was not a deep ball threat at all. And I think that they played their defense that way to where they had everybody up on the line, and that's what hurt them a lot. So I'm not saying that with Starkle now in, you're going to start rushing for 300 yards, but I think he at least is a better threat for the deep ball. And if you do take a few shots down the field, that'll at least open up the running game to a point. But I still want to see him be able to establish the rushing attack that will help open up the passing game. That's what I want to see. But at this point in time, I don't think I'm going to get it.
Yeah. I was talking with someone last night who's football coach, so he knows what he's looking. He's got a trained eye. And he said, it's no question Starkle's the best quarterback they've had up there. And you know, not just this year, but last year too. And he's the guy that's probably going to be able to do it if it's going to get done this year. I mean, I think just watching the ball come out of his hands, I think now is the time to make this move. And it will be interesting to see, you know, Colorado State's only got a half and two possessions the week prior to watch what's going on with Starkle. He's going to make mistakes. No question about that. You're just going to have to live through it. What you don't want to see is the first interception. Here comes Hicks back in.
No.
The first bad throw. Here comes Hicks back in. Or then you're back to square one. You're going to have to live with this guy making mistakes and take some lumps with him.
Mm-hmm.
And just ride it out.
Yep. Yep. You're going to have to do that. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino hotline. Jared is in Russellville. What's going on, Jared?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm gonna start by, I have a beef and I have where the program's heading. And the first thing is I want to say about where the program's going to head. I think that as long as we can get five offensive linemen in unity, like if they can just be able to do rep after rep after rep, that's where offensive line play starts. Is like you have to be on the same page at all times. And offensive line play has not been yet. When you're shuffling pieces like we have with all these injuries over the course of his entire tenure here, it's hard to do that. I do have faith. If November comes around and we still are looking bad, I think that's going to be where we're going to see a lot of fans jump off ship, because Starkle does give you hope now. But if you're not competing and you're not winning ball games in November, then there's going to be some serious question marks on if this is the guy for the job, because he'll have two full years of basically underneath his belt. All these freshmen will already be almost sophomores at that time. And then you'll see people really start questioning. I mean, I know they're already starting questioning for us now, but they'll really start questioning him in November. And then my beef is this. So Walmart is going with these new, you know, you had to check yourself out most of the time, correct?
Yes,
all the time. All the time.
All the time, right. Okay, so I'm going in there just wanting a snack the other day, just going to get some Raisinets, you know, a $2.90 is what it cost me. And I never keep receipts of under $10. I just throw them away before I even leave Walmart. And they had those little people with the yellow jackets on checking for receipts. They made me, they said, "Where's your receipt, sir?" I was like, "Are you serious? I threw it away already." And they were like, "No, I have to have your receipt. You can't leave." And I was like, "I'm going to go to jail for $2.90, really, guys?"
Yep.
And so they made me go back to the trash can, look through the trash can for my receipt. So that's my beef for the week. So, y'all have a great day.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call.
They need
Jared.
To put the trash can on the other side of the automatic doors. Yeah, I've noticed that too, where you go now and they're scanning deals. They got so many ways you can pay, and I'm not a big latest, greatest technology, but you can use your phone now and just start scanning the items in your basket and never go through that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't do that, but I know you can't. They got people walk around the store just scanning stuff. So I can understand why they're a little more guarded on the door, but yeah, that's frustrating.
Hey, trust me, Jared, if you want to get Tommy on one, just start bringing up the self-checkers at Walmart. I feel like he's had about three beefs with those.
I always get behind the people that are like, I don't know what they're doing up there.
You know, the grocery checker's a real new technology, Tommy.
One,
I mean,
I know it. One thing I like about Harps doesn't have any self-checkout.
They got people. They got people to check.
Self-checkout lines don't exist. It costs you more, but and their fried chicken's good. But, you know, you may wait a little longer, but someone's going
to
do it for you.
Yeah. It's got to mix the good with the bad when it comes to those self-checkers.
What do you want?
That's right. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Ben's in Fayetteville. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, guys, I'm up early this morning, man.
Us
we
too.
Had a, I attended this 9/11 memorial stair climb here at Razorback Stadium this morning.
Oh, nice.
Where we do 110 flights of stairs. You run the stadiums, one side of the stadium four times, right, all the steps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a disabled vet, 100% disabled vet, retired Navy. One of my buddies was with me. He was retired from the Air Force, fighter pilot. There's all these ROTC guys out here. We had a bunch of first responders, got old disabled guys like myself. The thing that I didn't see that really bothered me after watching these first two games, I didn't see any out-of-shape Razorback football players there getting them some conditioning in, man. And me and my buddy were talking about that as we were struggling and stopping and drinking water and everything. We're like, where are these kids at? Where's the strength and conditioning coach to get some of these out-of-shape guys that are cramping up in the second quarter at Ole Miss? Why aren't they out there conditioning at 5 a.m.? This would have been a perfect opportunity to come get a workout in and, you know, at least look the part, look like they've got some effort. And I just think it's a little strange with what's going on right now with the program. There's a lot of the other morning, there's a lot of defense of the coaches, a lot of defense of the staff, a lot of defense of the players. You know, it's like Johnny Cochran on here defending OJ on everything that goes wrong. But an opportunity like this where they could, you know, get a little visibility. We had Channel 5, 4029, all that out there. I don't work for any of those guys. I'm retired, like I said. But it would just been a good opportunity to, you know, get some visibility. Like, hey, we know where we're lacking. Obviously, it's in conditioning, or that's part of it. And, you know, get seen, you know, get ahead of it. But I just thought it was really odd. There was a bunch of people out there, 5 a.m. at Razorback Stadium. Not one player, not one coach thought that this would have been a good opportunity. I'll turn it back over to you guys. I appreciate the show. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you guys.
Appreciate the phone call, man. Appreciate your service.
And thank you for your service. And, you know, we were going to talk about 9/11 later in the show. I'm glad you brought that up. Listen, I get your where you're coming from, Ben, and this team has got some more conditioning work to do. I don't know that, what, 3 full days before the next game, running 110 flights of stairs is what you really want for resting legs. I get where you're coming from with, you know, getting in better shape. I don't know that that's the best idea in the world for someone that's going to need fresh legs for Saturday to be doing 110 flights of stairs on a Wednesday. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I know that we're conditioning experts here on the morning, right?
Well, there's no question. I mean just look at us.
Yeah, just look at us. We know what
chiseled.
We're doing. Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe there may have been coaches or something in the indoor practice facility. I mean, we don't know. Well, but I get what you're saying.
It's already a long day. Listen, it's going to sound like excuse making. But you're in the middle of a season. You have a routine. I don't think you break the routine even on 9/11.
Yeah, I don't think you do either.
Hey, we're brought to you by World of Wireless, 877-305-DISH. Talking with Ben yesterday at World of Wireless. If you're still wanting one of these tailgater units and you want one for free, you can still call. They've only got a handful of these models left, 877-305-DISH. The tailgater is the easy-to-use 8-pound satellite receiver. System. It's the dish and the LMB. Instead of having a tripod, a dish, and all that, you're out there trying to line up at your tailgate or deer camp, your lake house, wherever. This is an easy-to-use, like, cube thing. You can set it on the roof of your car, set it out beside your tent, wherever you're at, and it finds the satellites and does all that easy work for you. No more aligning it. You get back to to making cheese dip or whatever you're making at your tailgate, all right? 877-305-DISH. They got them on sale as well for a low, low price right now, depending on which model you get, as low as $99. 877-305-DISH for WOW, World of Wireless.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Joe is in Conway. What's going on, Joe?
What's going on, fellas?
Good morning.
I'm just, my beef today, man, is what's our offensive identity? And we're 14 games in. We've been preaching tempo. But even using tempo as an identity, like, that's not an offensive identity. We're going to go fast to do what? We haven't really seen much with the quarterbacks. I get that. But with Brett, we knew it was a smash-mouth run game. With Bobby, it was a play-action B-side game. What does Chad's offense want to be? I guess I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the phone call, Joe. This was one of the points that I brought up, I guess, in the postgame and on Monday, is I'm with you, Joe. I don't know.
Well, it tells me they don't have the players to do what they want to do, or at least what they've said they want to do. That's the thing, is what have they said they want to do? Want to hurry up? Want to go tempo? Spread? All of these things. Left lane, hammer down, full tilt boogie, all these hashtags, right? We haven't seen much or any of those identities in their offensive schemes.
And what I was under the impression of, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tommy, is that this offense was supposed to look not the exact same, but extremely similar to what Auburn and Gus Malzahn do, correct? It's supposed to be more of...
There's a lot of similarities in their structure and design.
It's more built around the rushing attack, and, you know, you obviously throw it a lot too, but the RPO and the spread option, it's built around that, and it's supposed to be that type of offense.
But part of the basis of what you're doing is the spread element.
Right.
And there's a lot, not all... But there are a lot of plays where Arkansas doesn't have it spread out. If you just watch it, it all fits in a nice little box on the field. Well, part of the design is you spread out the opponent so they have to be responsible for players sideline to sideline so that, well, it's more difficult to defend the run. You know, now you got to be able to block for the quarterback and you got to be able to block for the running backs. And I think all of this still comes back to they're not where they got to be with the offensive line to make all of this work.
Yeah,
because by design, you'd like to have at least four receivers on the line spread out so that you can maybe have a, you know, set this thing up where you can draw some people out of the box, if you will, defensively, where they just can't load up on you to stop the run.
Yeah, and I think that another thing when Joe was bringing it up and just asking what the identity is, like if you're watching the Ole Miss game, and this is where my problem comes in, and I can be proven wrong, and I'll gladly eat crow if this gets turned around as the season goes on, but I have always felt like, and it's not just me, but many people, when it comes to the game of football, if you don't have 11 guys on the field on the side of the ball, that's just great or elite, or you feel confident, and what do you need to do? How do you overcome that? What do you do? It's a simple thing. You throw the ball or get the ball to your playmakers, your fastest guys, the guys that is able to make people miss, and you do it in a way and you call plays for them, even if so. For instance, Rakeem Boyd, we all know he's a great player. He's a really good player. But if you can't be running between the tackles with him, okay, find some other way to get him the ball and get him in space. Same thing with the Davion Warren. I think that guy's got wheels like no other. Find a way to get him to the ball, get him the ball quick and have him make a play. Treylon Burks, same thing. I mean, if you just look at these playmakers that you have, find ways to get them the ball and find ways to get them the ball quickly and let them make the play. But these reverse passes, these miscommunications, these wildcat stuff, I'm not looking at that and saying that that's the way it needs to be with getting the ball to your playmakers. That's my point.
Does Morris have trouble communicating what's really going on and what he's really trying to do right now and where he's really at?
With the fans? Absolutely.
Well, with the fans, the media, I think if it's trouble there, it's trouble with the players too, right?
I mean, that's what.
I mean, how do you think?
What you'd believe, yeah.
Do you think he's good in a one-on-one environment talking to the players, or a group environment talking to a position group? I mean, I think there's maybe some. Everything's moving not so fast right now, but the pressure's on to win and win now, and all the things that the sense of urgency that's probably on his mind. It just seems like what he's saying is not matching what's happening, and I guess that's the better way of me putting the words together.
Yeah. And
what we're hearing and what we're seeing aren't equal.
Uh-huh. And that was my problem too, is when you see how he communicates with the media, I'm hoping that it's different with the coaches and the players, because let's be honest,
He's not the best in press conferences. And you know what? There's a lot of great coaches that aren't great with press conferences and aren't great with the media, and that's fine. That's fine. But it does make me wonder if there is a communication problem. If there are issues going on to where, you know, not everyone's on the same page. Because, you know, we have some clips from Nick Starkle that we'll be playing here in the second hour as it's coming up. But, he's talking about how with the playbook and the game plan, he's got a say in it. Now that he's starting quarterback, he's going to have a say in what plays are ran, what plays that he likes, what he doesn't like, what he feels comfortable in. And so who knows? That may be a factor that changes everything as well. But it's certainly something that needs to be brought up and needs to be talked about where, you know, maybe Chad Morrison, the offensive identity, is struggling to look good on the field is because it may be a simple communication problem. But it all comes back to, like, I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to do. And it's not like I have a book of knowledge on offenses and college football and what works and what doesn't and what an offense needs to look like if they're trying to accomplish this. I just know what works and what doesn't work. And in the first two games that we've seen so far, this offense is not working. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll come with time. Maybe Starkle being QB1 will be a difference. But from what we've seen, I just don't have much to say about it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
We have Officer Breen in studio with us. Is it? What do we call him? The prodigal son has returned. Is that? That's probably not a very good
prodigal son. No,
yeah, that's probably
the
not
retired. What you didn't? You came in here the other day and announced your retirement, and then left like gone. We didn't even get to talk to you.
Well, I had paperwork to do.
Oh,
you know, you can retire from law enforcement, but you're still going to go to court. My last date currently is scheduled for December 16.
Oh, wow!
So you know, it's not like you just walk out the door and you're done. It takes a lot more than that.
Well, officer, I want to ask you about this because this is something we were talking about during the break, and we had mentioned it earlier in the show that former Razorback quarterback Ryan Mallett was arrested on suspicion of a DWI in Springdale where he blew a blood alcohol content of 0.08. My question is, first off, that is the legal limit or right at it, right?
Arkansas law considers 0.08 to be intoxicated.
Yep. Okay.
All right, and this was also involving a motor vehicle accident.
Correct.
And then he was arrested at the scene of that accident. I'm sure you have had this kind of situation occur many times in your career where you go to the scene of what seems to be a minor accident, then you find out someone is impaired behind the wheel of the car. What, in your professional opinion, probably went on here?
Well, obviously, since it was alcohol, it was probably being smelled. They could smell the alcohol, and the standard protocol, standard field sobriety test would be performed. And if he didn't do well there, of course, then they would take him in for the intoximeter test. So, and obviously the officer smelled something or saw something that would cause him to say, okay, let's check for your sobriety, as I've done in more than one occasion. You go to an accident scene, the person, you either smell something or because of their actions, you're going to do field sobriety test and see how they perform.
All right. So I'm glad we could get some background on it too. So now that you're retired, you would always come on the show and give some message, or some sort of month or some sort of theme. But now that you're retired, you're still going to have some messages to give out to the people?
We ask you what you've been doing in retirement. You've been retired, what, a week now?
Yes.
You said you've mowed the lawn, then you worked out, then you mowed the lawn again, you've worked out, and then you mowed the lawn again.
Well, actually,
how fast is your grass growing over there?
Not very fast.
It is hot outside and dry.
It has been this week, yes. But the workouts, I've been doing 2-a-days. I've been lifting in the morning, and then I do cardio in the evening.
Now, for all of us that have many excuses,
I do.
I'll just let you in on a little bit of knowledge.
I do 2 weeks.
Me too. 2 months. You're 63, right?
Yes.
Officer Breeden is 63 years old, 20 years older than me, and he's doing 2 workouts a day. Now, I wish I had the time to do 2 workouts a day.
Even if you had the time, you wouldn't do 2 workouts a day.
You didn't let me get to the caveat here, though. Even if I had the time, though, I don't think I'm mowing the yard twice a day, nor am I working out twice a day.
Well, mow the yard every third day, actually, but and then you trim the lawn. But
When do you have time for haircuts?
You know, that's easy. I do that every time I take a shower. And it's not like it takes a lot of time, but, you know, you go in the mornings, you get up, you drink your coffee, you do your power routine, you have breakfast, you go do some chores.
I have a power routine, but it's probably a little different than yours.
And then, you know, when I say cardio, it's not like I'm doing something like, you know, a high school football team or something. It's flip the tire, it's beat on the heavy bag, it's use the sledgehammer on the tire.
Same stuff we do around here. Yeah.
So the, flipping the tractor tire and then sprint 40 yards, flip the tractor tire back 20 times, that's a pretty good workout. When you do that for 8 sets, you're sweating.
All right, before you go, what's up with this football team on the hill? You going to any Arkansas games this year, one, and what's up with them? You're a football guy.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, as we talked about earlier, the muscle cramps in the second quarter. I know it was hot weather, but no excuse. You can be better than that. Secondly, it's talent. I think it's talent. That's just my opinion. If you think talent doesn't make a difference, try riding a donkey in the Kentucky Derby. See how you fare.
Yeah, you can be the best jockey in the world, but it doesn't matter if you don't have a horse to run in it.
Exactly.
No, I get you. And that's a fair point and fair assessment of the situation. But they got 10 games left, so...
It's time to turn around. And, you know, if you're going to let these two games define your entire season, if you're going to let that set the tone for the entire season, this program's in trouble. If they decide, hey, it's time to cut in and we're going to play like champions, then they're going to do much better.
Well, Officer Breeden, appreciate you coming
in. Thank you for coming
by. Yeah, I know that retirement, if it was me, I'd still be asleep right now if I was retired. So.
When you going fishing? You said you were going fishing.
Yes, I've been fishing a couple times locally. I'll be at Gaston's next week because it's a first-class time every time.
There you go. You got to have the pause.
Now, hey, listen, can't do that until 7:30, 7:40 around.
Give us a fishing report when you get back.
Let us know about it.
So. I'll text you some pictures.
All right. Excellent. Well, appreciate it, Officer Breeden.
Happy retirement.
Yes, happy retirement.
We'll all be so lucky.
I'll still be coming by to see you guys. I know you get hungry in the morning, John.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, we appreciate you bringing breakfast.
He did his power routine before the show, so hungry.
I need the carbo load right here to make sure I get back into it. So.
All right.
Appreciate it, Officer Breeden. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or to text into the Cherokee Casino hotline. Let's go to the phone lines. Oh, man. Lisa is in Northeast Arkansas. Good morning, Lisa.
Well, good morning, and I sure enjoyed that interview with, or whatever you want to call it, with that officer. God bless him.
Well, he's still here in the studio, and he's glad you did not jump off the bridge the other night.
Yes, so.
Well, I've got two real quick things. One, I want to say that Scott Verity called me yesterday, and we spoke about 30 minutes, and he didn't go to the game Saturday. He didn't tell me why, but he wasn't able to make it. Of course, I've teased him and said, shame on you. But
he plays in a band part-time, and they were playing at the Cowboys game, I believe.
Oh, my God. Why didn't he take me as a sidekick?
He must have forgot.
I would have boogied down.
You'd be a heck of a sidekick, I think.
Hey, listen, I'm a lot of fun with a red Solo cup, let me tell you.
Oh, man.
Well, most of us
I'm a lot of fun. But my question is, and I'll get off here and let y'all answer it, but I do appreciate if you're listening, Scott. He told me he would be listening this morning because he wants to get the pulse of the fan base. I said, we don't have a pulse. So good morning, Scott. It's me. But
it's his day to monitor us today. Yeah. See what we're talking
about. They monitor, take notes, and then they gather around a big old table and talk us down. Yes, they do.
Yeah. They listen.
They do. And then they write about it. But there's a real good article today in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette by John Brummett, and it's hilarious, funny. You got to read it. But anyway, what happens? And this is the question I asked Scott, and I'm going to ask y'all, and I'm going to listen. And he couldn't answer it. He couldn't, bless his heart. What happens this Saturday if Colorado State rolls into Fayetteville and they beat us 2 touchdowns or more? And I hope they don't, but what happens if they do? And I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate,
thank you for taking my call.
Of course. And appreciate it, Lisa,
thank you for calling in. Thank you for making your call.
Yes, and I tell you what, we're up against the break. When we come back, we'll answer your question and talk about it, because I don't think it's too far-fetched of a question. It's a realistic question, and a lot of Razorback fans want to know what would happen if the unthinkable does happen. We'll get to that and more on the other side.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
The give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Hey, before the break, Lisa called and wanted to know what the response would be. What should happen if this football team goes down in flames this week? And she defined that as a two-touchdown loss.
At least two touchdowns.
I added the flames part. But she wanted to know what would happen. And she'd been talking to the powers that be up there, apparently. She said Scott Verity called her yesterday. He doesn't get much bigger than Scott Verity, right? Head of the foundation.
I mean,
big time. Reaching out to see what the pulse of the fans are. Well, what would, you know, John, I don't think anyone's sitting here wanting to contemplate a two-touchdown loss, but I know what the fans' response is going to be.
They want to burn it down.
Mm-hmm. I mean, more people jumping off the Chad Morris bandwagon if that should unfold.
And let's be honest, Tommy. Arkansas losing by two touchdowns to Colorado State?
At home?
Would that surprise you that much? I mean, seriously, and I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm not trying to make light of it. But if they had lost, I mean, because to me, I can't make any guarantees with this team.
Nope.
I can't sit here and guarantee that they're going to win on Saturday. In fact, I don't even feel good about them winning on Saturday.
What did you predict in the magazine?
I thought I was going to wait till that on Friday before I release it. But
did you go win or, just go win or lost?
I did go with Arkansas winning.
Yeah, see, I did too.
And barely.
But I think it's a close game. I think it's a lot like last year. I don't think Arkansas will win nor lose by two touchdowns.
No.
But if I had to pick one or the other, it's going to be a two-touchdown game. Do they win or lose? I'm afraid I'd have to go loss. I just because I don't have the confidence in the team's ability to score enough points to beat someone right now two touchdowns. And the defense, while better, is not that much better.
No. No, it's not. And that's where confidence comes into play, or lack thereof, when it comes to this team. Is I don't have confidence in them. I don't have confidence in all the coaches. I just don't have confidence right now. And it's not to say that they can't be built back. It's not to say that it's all over and there's no way to get the excitement back, to get the feelings back, to get the winning back. There's plenty of opportunity to do so. And I'm still sitting here saying that if you go 6-6, even at this point in time, if you found a way to really get it turned around, go 6-6 this year, all for it. Great. Going the right direction. Getting some things done. But it's just at this point in time where we're at, because all we have is these two games to look at. This is all we got.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not been enough of good looks for me to say that this team, if they lose this, first off, if they lose this week, and answer your question, I should just get to this. To answer your question, Lisa, if they lose by two touchdowns to Colorado State this weekend, I'm going to have a very hard time saying, you know what? This is you got to give them out the rest of the year. I mean, you're talking about doomsday scenarios.
What Lisa's really asking, she didn't get right to it, which normally she gets right to the central nerve on an issue. What Lisa's really asking is, should Chad Morris be fired if they lost by two touchdowns? That's what Lisa's
really
asking.
Yeah, that's the underlying question.
That's what's, you know, the follow up to all of that. What if that happens, do you think? And there's going to be, and my answer would be no. But I'm going to tell you, if you lost to Colorado State and to San Jose State and it looked bad, there's going to be an outcry, man. That's why these two games are so important, because fans expect at a minimum four wins this year. I mean, you can't get to four wins. At least logical thinking says you're not going to get to four wins if you don't win these next two.
Oh, no. You will not get to four wins.
And I could see maybe if you went 1-1 the next two, you could still, that would get you to two. You could beat Western Kentucky, maybe Missouri, maybe a Kentucky, maybe because the team improves. But now you're starting to ask for things that seem, well, if you can't beat these teams, how are you going to beat those teams? Well, Arkansas's not going to be the same team in early November that they are in late September.
That's what you hope.
Well, they shouldn't be. They better not be. So,
can you guarantee it? That's the thing, is I can't.
I'm telling you, this whole thing boils down to how much improvement and how healthy they stay and how much improvement the offensive line makes. That's the nuts and bolts of all of this. How well does the offensive line play the rest of the year? How capable are they of, how much ability do they have to reach a certain level of play that's on an SEC level? Because right now it's not.
No.
And that's what this whole thing boils down to. Because nothing offensively will work without those guys getting to a point you got to have them.
No. And again, if Starkel comes in and he's QB1 and they rally around him and they do well offensively this weekend, then that's going to provide that spark. But even then, the question then becomes, because I know fans will be happy with the win no matter how it comes, but then it becomes, okay, so why wasn't he playing all along? That's going to be the next question, and you're still going to have some doubts and some questions.
Well, that can be at least explained away. He didn't know the offense well enough until this point. That would be my explanation. That makes sense. Ben Hicks knew the offense better. He knew the playbook better.
Yeah, but if the offense can't get going under him, I mean, that's...
But you can't put a quarterback out there that doesn't know the offense.
But they put him out there for a few series at least, so he knows it well enough to run some series.
The more time you got, the more time you get to learn.
I guess so.
That would be my ex. I'm not saying that's what's happening. I'm just saying that's how I would explain it.
Yeah, and that may be the way that Chad Morris explains it if it ends up being a great success for Nick Starkel. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Wally's in Bentonville. What's going on, Wally?
Hey, guys. I got a couple beefs. Okay. Number one, the conditioning. Obviously, last year, it was probably a legitimate excuse because the conditioning coach didn't have much time and, you know, getting familiar with the players, all of those things. But, you know, they've had a year and a half or so with them now. There's no excuses there. None. You've got your program in, fully implemented. So if you know what you're doing, we shouldn't be having some of those issues. And then my other beef is all these people, media or even fans sometimes, talking about, well, you got to give them X number, whether it's three, whether it's four, whatever it is. Because why? Why guarantee that? Why have that mindset at the front end? And then if the person really isn't getting the job done, you're just marrying yourself to that for a length of time that you don't have to. And so, you know, if they crash and burn this season as well, God forbid, and say go something horrid like 2-10. I mean, I know tacking is talent is lacking to compete, you know, consistently in the SEC, but come on, there's got to be a line. And I think the other reason fans are upset, and you hear it more and more every day, and why they're losing faith in Chad Morris isn't necessarily because they lost to Ole Miss, because we knew it was going to be a struggle anyway. That once Nick Starkel got in there and fans were like, really? You saw this talent gap, you know, all through camp, probably saw it even before camp when they were just doing workouts with receivers, getting their timing down, all that stuff. You saw this all through camp, even in the Portland State game. Yeah, he threw a pick, but the offense was clicking. And then when he went in Ole Miss, everybody seemed to just pick up a step. You know, there was a spark in the offense, period. There was a change in attitude, period. And so everybody's like, really, Chad Moore? This is, you're the coach, you're the professional, and you thought Ben Hicks was our best option? And, you know, because if indeed the only difference was just getting timing down, you know what you do? You simplify the offense until he gets comfortable with it. If he's the more talented guy, you get him reps. And I'll leave with this. When Chad came here, a year and a half ago, there was a lot of articles about this and that. And one I read was about when he left Clemson and Dabo didn't know what to do with the offense. And he had two offensive assistants that stayed that ended up being co-coordinators. The first thing they did, because they had a lot of young receivers and Deshaun Watson was going to be in his first year as a full-time starter, the first thing they did was simplify the offense because it was so complicated. There's article after article about that they simplified it for their young team. And you know what? The year after Chad left, Deshaun Watson threw for 4,000 yards. And they've been nonstop since then. That's when they started going to national championship games and winning that. So they've got to simplify it to get the ball to the playmakers, to let talent win what little talent we have. But again, I don't think any thing should be guaranteed. You hope that things get better. You hope that they know what they're doing and that they improve. But I think you judge every season by what they accomplish and are they really moving it forward. And, you know, the other thing to remember is Hunter Yurecek did not hire Chad Morris. That's a common misconception you hear sometimes. So he's not Chad Morris's guy. So I think he at least can look at it with an objective eye as well. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate the phone call, Wally. And there's a lot to unpack from your comments. I'll try to do my best in it. But before we get to that, though, Tommy, did you? Oh, sorry. I thought you were good. Okay. Well, never mind. You know, to get to your comment, though, about the time of a coach and how you brought up how, you know, you got to give a coach time, give them 3-4 years or whatnot, and how you can't really go in with that attitude. Now, I've said this many times on the show that I've always liked to view my coaches and timing like my presidents. You get 4 years. And if you do a good job or I like the direction you're going after 4 years, I'm going to vote you in another term. But, you know, sometimes, though, during that four-year term, in the first 4 years, impeachment might be on the table.
It happened with Jack Crow here.
Yeah, exactly.
2 seasons and 1 game gone.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that Arkansas, and I think that's also why Arkansas fans are very cautious about this whole thing. Because, Tommy, Arkansas's had some great football coaches, Hall of Fame football coaches.
Frank Broyles.
Lou Holtz.
Ken Hatfield.
Yeah. And I mean, they've had some good coaches.
Danny Ford's.
He wasn't Hall of Fame here, but of Arkansas. Right. Yeah. More because of his Clemson days. But they've had some great coaches come through here. And even the bad coaches that they had, you had, I guess you would consider Jack Crow, because you said 2 years to two, one
two,
game.
Two seasons and one game.
Then you had, some people would say Danny Ford was bad here while he was here.
Brett Bielema won a national championship at Clemson.
Correct. Brett Bielema would be in the classification. I don't count John L. Smith. That's interim. But my point is that you've had some bad coaches come through here, and with the exception of Jack Crow, all of them have gotten at least 4 years, mm-hmm. at least in recent history. But if you look at other programs that have gone through some struggles, and I'm talking about like bottom-dwelling struggles with certain coaches, they've made changes after 2 years, after 3 years. They don't, and not everybody gives them that 4 year. It's just, I think with Arkansas fans, by and large, they've always looked at it from that perception because they've never been this low before. They've never had a situation to where a coach is in a position to where you might be looking at back-to-back seasons of less than 4 wins each year, easily.
Right, and find me an example of a coach that goes 2-10 or 3-9 back-to-back years.
And then
eventually turns it around.
It doesn't, no.
That's the thing. You may have a struggle for that initial year. Petrino had a struggle that initial year here. Didn't get to a bowl game, but it still wasn't 2-10. What was it, 5-7
in his first year.
You know,
then 8-5.
You saw Nick Saban struggle. And I'm not saying Chad Morris is going to be Petrino or Nick Saban at some point. I'm just saying to get to where you're 8-4 again. 9-3 again, perhaps. Let's just even leave 10 wins out of the conversation. Can you start off 2-10, 3-9, first couple of years in a row, and eventually get it to there? At what point does that take such a toll on recruiting that not going to happen? But you know, when these next two games and a lot of these emotions and questions and concerns, like Lisa had, and like we've had a couple calls this morning, I think go away. The thing we all want to see is identify the blueprint of what you're trying to do offensively. What is happening here? What do you want to be? And why can't you be everything you want to be at this point?
When you see other teams across college football mm-hmm. have their issues, don't have a lot of talent or whatnot, but yet it's not taking them as long to get it going. I think that's also another thing, and whether it's right or wrong, we have people bringing up the examples of Mike Locksley over at Maryland, who's looked really strong in his first two games. They're like, Maryland was terrible. He takes over and he looks good. Or Mack Brown over at North Carolina. They were 2-10 last year. He comes in and now they've already they've been able to match their win total from last year in their first two games. People see other programs too, and they're like, how come they're not struggling like Arkansas is? They have new coaches. They have changes of philosophy and changes of culture. They don't have a lot of talent. So why is Arkansas the only program, at least what you feel like, struggling so much? That's what's the problem right here, and that's what it's hard for fans to wrap their minds around, is how come it's so much more difficult for a program like Arkansas right now than some of these other programs that you feel like you're better than? I mean, that's a big thing. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Tyler's in Mountain View. What's going on, Tyler?
Hey, guys. You know, we've that last car called in, and you know, it's tough. It's tough to go through coaching change and not see the success you want, but you can't just get rid of a coach unless there's a better option out there. You know what I mean?
Well, explain that a little more. Like, what do you mean?
Okay, so say, where do we go from here? Because there's not just a long list of available successful candidates, you know? So when we go back into the coaching search, I mean, say after these 2 weeks, he doesn't get us where we want. We lose these next two games. And then, you know, the fan base kind of turns and ticket sales go down. Everybody's like, okay, now's the time. So who do we hire?
Well, I mean, I don't think that you're at that point yet in the conversation where you're looking at candidates on who you're hiring, but people are looking at it that if you're not getting the job done and you're not putting a competitive football team out on the field, then changes have to be made, at least in some capacity, sometimes major changes. But I don't think you're at that point, though, where you start talking about candidates yet.
No, I understand, but what I'm saying is, until we know for a fact that he's not the right candidate, not the right guy, that we can't just throw him out, that we have to kind of sit this out because we don't have a better option at this moment.
Yeah. Well, and I get that, but
no
you
one's
can't,
saying that he should be fired.
No, no, no. And we're not saying that, certainly. Yeah, but the thing is, though, is that, Tyler, is that if you can't always just say, well, you got, because the reason fans are so scared right now is because, listen, I think everybody wants Chad Morris to succeed. Now, there's
Absolutely.
Not anybody that wants him to fail,
Absolutely.
First off.
Absolutely.
Everyone wants him to succeed. But the other thing is that you don't want to be waiting too long, get caught up in too long to where you're trying to have him succeed, and then you end up falling further and further behind. Because time is tough. It is a lot easier to be successful and have a downfall than it is to build success. I mean, it's just the fact of the matter. And there's just a lot of fans that, and it's not just Chad Morris, but even going back to the end of the Brett Bielema era, you've had the worst few years in Razorback football history over the past few seasons. It's been the worst. And people are just scared. They're scared that if this continues on, and if you hold on for too long, then you're going to become a program that's going to be mentioned with the likes of Kansas, with the likes of Indiana, with the likes of all these other programs that no one gives two rips about football to, and that they're bottom dwellers in the conference and a laughingstock in college football, where everyone circles that game and says, if you don't win this game, the coach should be fired. If you don't beat Arkansas, you should be fired. That's what people are scared of. And that's why they're so emotional and passionate right now about this situation that Chad Morris and the Razorbacks are in. I don't think anybody wants him to fail. No one wants him to fail. People want him to succeed badly. They want this program to succeed badly. But if they get to the point, though, where things start going south and going south quick, they want to get in front of it instead of continuing to just swirl down into irrelevancy in college football. Because there is not a scarier thing, folks. There is not a scarier thing than being completely and totally irrelevant mm-hmm. in college football.
Want to become the new Vanderbilt of
no.
this league.
And Arkansas is on the verge of that. Not saying that they're there. Not saying they would be there next year. But unless this really gets going and turned around and starts going in the right direction, you might end up being there. And that's where no one, and I mean no one, wants to be.
Hey, do you live in Arkansas? Is your home 10 years old and served by OG&E? If that's the case, you need to call about the free home weatherization program, 1-800-272-9741. A trained crew will come out and perform an energy audit at no cost. They'll come back, put attic insulation in, LED light bulbs, weather stripping, advanced power strips, smoke alarms, and a whole lot more. 1-800-272-9741 for OG&E's free home weatherization program.
If you want to get on the conversation on a What's Your Beef Wednesday, call or text into the Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Had a bunch of people texting in during the last few calls. Justin Van Buren saying, I'm saying he should be fired. If you don't want a conference game or we lose a non-conference game. So he's already got it laid out as far as the recipe for when he wants to be moving it on. JT in Hot Springs comes in, says Maryland and North Carolina ran similar offenses to what they're running now. Chad Morris is so vastly different from Brett Bielema. No, I totally get that. But the fact of the matter is, some of these teams were really, they were told that they were devoid of talent. And I don't think any of the coaches from those programs, and this is just what y'all have been saying. I'm not saying this from how I feel. This is just what y'all have been saying. That You don't hear Michael Oxley or Mack Brown or any of those programs coming out and saying it's going to take 3 years before we get the offense installed.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.